Good morning, citizen lobbyist.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. You're staying warm because it's still cold.
It's 11 degrees.
Yes, it is.
It's pretty cold.
Right. We know that. And there's been one meeting. Well, there actually have been a couple of meetings. I know there was an economic development meeting, I believe, on Monday, and then followed up with a city council meeting on Tuesday.
Yeah. Did you talk to anybody who went to that economic development meeting?
Only indirectly. I was not available to go there myself. And there was a little bit of sort of side discussion, not as part of the official council meeting on Tuesday. And then there was a lot of coverage, apparently, in Facebook, a lot of posting about one thing or another. But my understanding from those sources that there was a polite discussion of some of the concerns that people had, and that nothing was resolved in terms of action or recommendations taken, and certainly there was nothing that was discussed specific to that at the council meeting on Tuesday.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not, or maybe they're going to continue to. It's not something I expected to be solved in one night.
Right.
So.
And of course, just for those listeners who perhaps are wondering, what the heck are they talking about? This was apparently some concern raised about the use of the Palmer Depot for organizations that regularly schedule it, and in particular, farmers market, that are not nonprofits or not doing weddings, but are maybe taking advantage of a low rent situation to compete with other retail outlets in the city. Is that correct, or do you think
I kind of think that. I mean, there's been quite a bit of Facebook interaction about that, but I think that's kind of what it comes down to is, you know, brick and mortar people have overhead all the time and pay rent, you know, all month long, and people whiz in and take advantage of what is really a community rate and are sometimes in competition with them, or it doesn't, it draws people away from their businesses. And I think that's a valid concern. So maybe the council will come to some kind of an agreement where it's a little more expensive for those type of events, particularly on the weekends, maybe not allow every weekend to be booked by the same vendor. They have a lot of latitude with it. But, you know, I think what this kind of points to, Mike, is really the value that people put on community space. And, you know, there's two sides to that, too. The one side of it is that people want the community space, but they need to realize that we also need revenue from those community spaces to pay the overhead, because nobody seems to want to pay for anything. So it's kind of a two-way street there. But it's a good discussion to have, I think. And, you know, very clearly Palmer is not afraid to take on these issues, and hopefully it'll be resolved. And usually at the end of the day, not everybody's happy, and you know you've done your job, because somebody's not going to get exactly what they want. But good on them to have the discussion.
Right. So we'll look forward to it and see if we can cover more detail once the next one, meeting happens. Well, meanwhile, before we get to the council, of course, I just realized there was another meeting on Monday, a significant one over in Wasilla City Council. And the big news there was a 5-1 vote in favor of banning plastic bags as of 1 July.
Right. Pretty amazing. Good on Wasilla. Yeah, interestingly enough, I was talking to a store clerk in Palmer of one of the big chains yesterday, and watching somebody in front of me take a full grocery cart full of plastic bags out. And this clerk has worked there for a long time, doesn't really chat much, but it was good to hear from her that she was looking forward to the ban maybe coming to Palmer, that she supported a lot of what she had heard was said at the Wasilla meeting about the cost of cleanup, the damage to the environment, that sort of thing. But, you know, hats off to this group, a very dedicated group of volunteers, mostly, that have really done a good job, I think, educating the public. It's one thing to educate the public, but to educate political people who have to make hard decisions is really hard. And they've done a really good job on it. And I think that kudos to Wasilla to taking the lead on this and not messing around, I guess, with trying to charge or trying to keep track of the accounting, but just out and out banning them. And I wonder, Mike, if this could be the first step to a statewide ban, because there are several communities now that have banned them or have some type of fee schedule. And I think for the merchants, they probably just assume everybody was aligned, so they didn't. After some time, you know, one thing Wasilla's cognizant about is they're giving their merchants time to move those bags off to other facilities, so they won't be stuck with a bunch of them, which I think is wise. But we could do that as a state, too, and just, you know, have it start in another year. We'd be that much closer to a cleaner environment. So,
of course, there's the question of our neighbor, our large neighbor to the south, Anchorage, which has not banned bags. How it would be, I guess what I'd feel more positive that something statewide would happen if Anchorage were dealing with this in a way similar to Wasilla.
Yeah, it's too bad they don't take the opportunity and put it on their April, at least an advisory vote, on their April ballot. They've got some pretty bold assembly people, so you might see it yet come out of there, especially if the big merchants don't come back and push back on it. You know, that's who they're really concerned about more than anything. So, yeah, but Anchorage, you know, sometimes they like to wait for the state to make them do things. So you may not see that happen there.
Well, I'm just thinking about that, given all that many of the big box stores that are located in Anchorage are located in Wasilla. And I have not heard, have you heard any pushback from any of those large entities against the ban?
No.
Okay. So maybe Anchorage, all eyes are on Wasilla. And interesting.
Yeah, good for them for taking the lead. Has there been any talk at the Palmer meeting the other night about them taking it on? Or
just at the very end, where Council Member Pete LaFrance said, "Okay, it's time," and so they will. He had support, and they'll be talking about this as the time goes on.
Good.
So we'll see how that goes. And of course, on next Tuesday, my understanding is that the borough still has to bring out a continuing discussion of their taxing proposal, which in lieu of what's happened here might just either go away or I don't know what.
The borough, the Massey borough.
Yes, exactly. At that level. So we're not sure what's going to go down there.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of balls in the air right now. It's an interesting time. I looked at that. There wasn't, of course, a Massey borough meeting, as you referred to, Mike. It will be next Tuesday. But there's some interesting things on their agenda. One that I've been hearing a lot about before we move back to the Palmer City Council meeting was a resolution from the borough manager for an understanding of agreement with the Department of Environmental, the EPA, basically, because of the air quality problem. And basically what it is just a plan to be more aggressive in not only educating people about the problems with our air quality, particularly in the Butte and Palmer areas of the borough, but also maybe invoking some fines for people that aren't complying after they've been warned. And I know there's some knee-jerk reaction going around. I've seen on Facebook, the people in Big Lake are pretty upset about it. But a lot of it is coming from the same group up in Fairbanks that has resisted doing anything about their air quality problems. And as we know from hearing from the mayor from up there, this has been a long ongoing problem for Fairbanks becoming non-compliant, and it's cost them literally hundreds of thousands of dollars to dig their way out of it. And, you know, people can make their own judgments about whether the regulation is too much overreach or whatever, but the fact of the matter is it is, we all share the air and it's all there. It's nothing that's changed. They haven't made it. The science gets better on it all the time, and so we're able to know what's in our air more. So these things come up more, as we found out last week on the water quality that we heard. we're becoming much more dense population. So we're putting a lot more things in the air. But this is primarily about burning wet wood and trying to head off having to take the extreme measures Fairbanks had to take because they kept delaying the doing anything about the problem. And I think we went through that in a previous meeting, but I see that the borough has it up on the website right now with some links talking about Fairbanks and that meeting that had the mayor come down and talk about what they had been through. And I encourage people before they get too wound up with seeing some of these things on Facebook, which is kind of a knee-jerk reaction to government regulation, that they take the time to not only look what the legislation is, which is pretty light-handed at this point, and also refer back to what the city of Fairbanks has been undergoing in North Star Borough with trying to clean up their air. And being proactive almost always is cheaper than being reactive. So I just leave that on the table for everybody to consider this week as the buildup for this meeting Tuesday, which is surely going to bring some people out.
Right. Okay. Well, going back to the city council meeting, it was fairly brief, but they did take some important action. They passed the consent agenda, and like the borough assembly recently, the consent agenda seems to be being dealt with as a consent agenda with the discussion for items. In this case, for the city of Palmer, it was purchasing a variety of vehicles and equipment. And this has all been discussed in the past, so it pretty much went on through. The first, my standpoint, really interesting item was item E, which was the recognition of outstanding service to the Palmer Post Office.
Boy, it was a pretty easy holiday season when I went in there this year.
Well, and the city of Palmer wanted to recognize that for, and the postmaster was there, and that rather than simply complaining again, oh yeah, the post office lines were out, that something was done, and he came and he said, yeah, and that's just the start. We're going to do more. So
go ahead. Did he indicate what more that was, Mike?
No, they were working on it, but they expected I'm not sure. My impression is that. As with you, when I was there, the winter and Christmas season just sort of blew through, and I said, oh, I'm not standing in long lines anymore. I did note that perhaps they have more people at the counter. That's been my impression, because I've gone to the post office now and recently, and it seems like it's not just one person there in a line of 20 people.
So a couple of things that I know about and noticed about. Number one, we've had a new postmaster for now a couple of years.
Right.
And he has been somebody that's been there, but there's also been some attrition. So there's some new people there that haven't been there for years and years. But, you know, people have to understand that there's been a hiring freeze at the post office for a long time.
Right.
And so... I don't know it'd be interesting to talk to the postmaster if he's been able to fill some of those. But when you bring on new employees, they have less vacation, they have less leave, and so you have better coverage. That's just the way it works. I know I did talk to him one day about getting a postal machine, which seems to be a big holdup during the busy times, and they indicated that the way the statutes were now, they had to have another employee. In order to have a postal machine, which seems kind of contrary to what you would think, because you would think that would save time, but and they couldn't get one with the hiring freeze, so they couldn't expand that. But maybe there's some workarounds with that now. But whatever they've done, I think also, Mike, because I take advantage of this, flat rate boxes are kind of the way to ship out of Alaska now, and you can do that postage at home and just drop your box off. Which to me made my life much easier this Christmas. And I think that people are getting educated and they're starting to use the tools that are in front of them, which is lifting the load a little bit too. So, and people should also keep in mind, and I remind people of this all the time, that the Palmer Post Office serves for a lot of people, people that work in the school district, the boroughs, literally thousands of people that don't live in Palmer. So it's not just the people of Palmer that are getting their mail there. It's people in Wasilla and people even beyond Wasilla that want a secure place to get their mail that makes it convenient during the day to get it. And so they have a post box. You can get a post box anywhere. It doesn't matter where you live. They don't ask you unless you want it delivered to your door, and then you have to have an address. But if you want to just go get a post box, you don't have to live in that area to get it. So I think people sometimes are unaware of the volume that goes through that post office. So just leave that on the table today.
Okay. Well, there were persons to be heard, and Molly Boyer from the Recycling Center was there. And that's where actually I think the most significant report came as she talked about what happened at the Wasilla Council meeting regarding plastic bags and the rest of that. So she spoke. And I also spoke. I rarely do, but I spoke giving the council an update on a project that they have graciously partially funded with monies from the community grant. And this is the project to provide a keyed video record that will be streamed live and made available for both the staff and citizenry to look at a video and to also be able to pick an agenda item and go click and go right to that without having to look through all of the audio and video. And as I pointed out to the council, something that maybe people hadn't realized, this will also be closed captioned, and the text will be searchable as well. So if you have something like the plastic bag issue, which is sometimes an item on the agenda, but also maybe referred to in comments, you will note where that is, and you'll be able to see where that all is. So we expect to be testing that out with one or another of the commissions or boards, and then and probably in a council meeting in the second one into the future. We'll demo it and go from there. But we're really excited about the whole thing as an extension of the audio services that we provide for the city at the present time.
And what's our timeline on that, Mike?
I would say in the next 30 days, we've done our training, and within the next 30 days, we hope to do a committee meeting of some sort. And and then as soon as that proves to be everything we've been talking about, then we'd like to see the council make a decision to have council meetings done as well. That's the where we're headed, and they were just interested in having the proof of concept go to what does it look like, et cetera. And so we're pretty impressed with what we've seen so far, and I think it's going to become a kind of a standard.
Okay.
So we'll see.
So what was the response from the council? Because there was some reluctance on a couple of members' parts last time. Were there any questions or
no?
Was
they thanked. Basically, I was thanked for providing the update, and they're looking forward. We're all looking forward to saying, okay, here it is. Now you can go and see what it is, how it works, how easy it is to use. If you're after the fact, for example, you want to review a session that's been done, you'll be able to have that agenda. Click to the item on the agenda that you want to look at, and up pops the video, and it will be linked to, we believe, from both the city's webpage as well as our own Radio Free Palmer webpage. So, and you'll also, as these pile up and are archived, and one happens after another, you'll be able to see the archives there and go back and pick the one you had missed that you were interested in, and look at that as well. So,
that's excellent. Well, we're looking forward to that.
Oh yeah, exciting thing. There were a number of other items for public hearing, and basically they were approved. The one that probably had the most discussion had to do with temporary buildings.
Oh, yeah.
The temporary building issue is one that sort of sits there.
Mike, is that like, does that include tents and those big tents, or is it just something not on a foundation, sheds and that sort of thing. Did they qualify that?
Yeah, it pretty much is right. It's not intended to deal with sort of temporary buildings in a commercial district, but rather it is occasionally if you go around town, you might notice a Connex or a shed that's not permanent, that's been put up, and under the guidelines, it's supposed to only be temporary. And what is intended here is a way to tighten that up so you'll be able to say, okay, if it's we have something that is clear, and if something's been there for a while and it's supposed to be temporary and it's just sort of sinking into the ground or it's just become part of the community, well, let's make a decision about this. Because as you know, when you're putting up a structure in the city of Palmer, there are certain requirements if it's going to be around for a long time in terms of foundation, et cetera. And a temporary building, to my own mind, could have a danger if it's a lightweight temporary building that's not attached to a good foundation. We know we have winds situations, and they were looking at really taking care of that.
Yeah, it looks like their definition, looking at the backup for the agenda, was a temporary building was a building or structure that covered an area in excess of 120 square feet that's capable of being moved and intended to be used in excess of 6 months. And temporary buildings associated with construction of the permitted use are exempt during construction and an additional period not to exceed 90 days. So I think... Then they have, a list of conditional uses. So how did it come out, Mike?
The simple answer to that question is that they voted it down at the request of the manager. But there's more to the story in the sense that the need for doing something remained. The best way to describe it was sort of recognized as a problem in particular, but not really... satisfactorily. I didn't feel that the council as a whole was satisfied with what was being presented. This is the case where it would be very nice to pull up the audio and the video and say, okay, look at this, because this was where a lot of the discussion went, and it was just not an easy piece to deal with. This leads to a more comprehensive look that will happen down the road.
Maybe next time we interview the manager, we can get
that's exactly where I'm going. Yeah.
Right. And I'm curious when you interview him, Mike, because this looks a lot like, and I haven't read the whole thing, I'm just perusing it here, but looks like it has a lot of references to industrial uses.
Right.
What about, I'm concerned, because I have one tent in my neighborhood I've been wanting to asked about, quite a large one, certainly over 120 square feet in someone's backyard that is in a residential area or at least semi-commercial. And I'm just wondering if that applies to that too.
I think you're going to find the same kind of a concern because, and as I started this conversation, we're talking about things that have happened over time that have sort of not been dealt with. Because there wasn't a heavy-duty enforcement and clarity to all of this. So you'd get a temporary structure up, and now it's been around for a while. And so you have that classic situation. Well, we have to do two things. We have to do a cleanup, perhaps look at structures like the one you referred to, and also be able to handle any new structures that are coming into play. So,
good that they're cleaning it up.
Yep. Okay. Anything else? Because we're coming toward the end of our discussion here, Citizen Lobbyist.
No, there'll be a school board meeting next week, Mike, on Wednesday. They haven't met for a while, and that agenda should be out soon. And as we referred to earlier, the borough will have their meeting on Tuesday, which I'll have to listen to after, Mike. I'll be at the Alaska Public Health Summit in Anchorage next week.
Okay.
And so I will probably miss those, but we'll get them. As soon as you get them up, I'll listen to them. We'll have something to talk about.
All right. That'll be interesting to hear what you take away from that health summit.
Yeah, I really look forward to this health summit. I've been in a lot of health meetings lately as various groups try to grapple with the high cost of health and coming from all different angles. And so I'm looking forward to having this. Is a great speakers come up, and it's good to have that interaction with people that are also interested in some of these subjects. With I think there's still people want to register for it. It's at the Captain Cook. And I think if you just Google Alaska Public Health Summit, you'll see their agenda online if people are interested. I don't think it's closed to anybody that's not a professional, so it might be something people want to check out.
Okay. Thank you, Citizen Lobbyist. Have a good day. Stay warm.
I'll do. Thank you.
Bye-bye.